That's life. You know, all life is valuable, which we're going to be talking about this morning. Even those who are facing death, even those who society would say they have nothing to contribute, God designed life. So today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and this is one of the themes, giving all life a chance to live. So this was a slide that was already made up. I didn't do anything to it, so it is for today. But giving all life a chance to live, and that's what we're here to talk about this morning, to remember life. And this is going to be a little bit of a different service. It's just going to be reading some scripture. And the words are going to be up here for you, and you can write them down on the back of the sheet if you want to do that. But all these verses speak about life, and this is the Pennsylvania Right to Life picture. So that's going to be our slides for this morning. But you can turn your Bibles if you want to Psalm 139. But we're going to be reading this. The verses, I'm not going to ask you to read them with me, but I want you to follow along as we look at this. For Psalm 139, it says, "For you," the psalmist is saying this, "you," speaking to God, "you," excuse me, "have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." We are going to be just kind of touching on some of these verses and reminding you why these verses are important. This starts it off right here. "You formed me." God created life. That's what gives it value, is that God created it. God formed you. God formed me. God formed our inward parts, and he knitted us together. I love that. I'm not a sewer. Our ladies will be meeting here in a few weeks, coming in and they're sewing thing on Tuesdays, and I see them. I don't know if they're knitting. I'm not exactly. Some of you knit, don't you, Evelyn? Some of the ladies knit. Okay, I know if they crochet. I'm not sure what the difference is, but you just see these ladies painstakingly forming this Afghan or whatever it is that they're making. And it's I'll walk in and watch them a little bit sometimes, and it looks like a mess to me. I mean, just the pieces of stuff that's on the floor and the stuff that they're knitting together. And I always am amazed when Carlene brings in the Afghans that she makes for the graduates, and I help them hang it up, and I see the back, and it just looks like just a mess. It just doesn't look like it's pretty at all. And then you turn it around and you see the design. And that's what God, when he knitted us together in the womb, he knew what he was forming. He knew that everything was beautiful. And that's what the next verse says. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Verse 13 says, God created life. Verse 14 says, all life is wonderfully made. And I love that. "Wonderful are your works." We can say that to God. We can look at ourselves and think, man, I don't have the health that I used to have. I don't feel as good as I used to have. I don't have the energy I used to have. I'm not able to walk like I used to walk. But all life is wonderfully made. And when I read that, some of you know, I like the old TV shows, Leave It Beaver and Andy Griffith. But there was an Andy Griffith that's still, you still see it regularly if you watch it. But Barbara Eden was on, she was the guest star on that show, and she came into town, and she was probably, I think when I read it, she was only like 25 or 26, and she was beautiful. She was really, really nice looking, and all the guys in the barbershop were just kind of drooling over her, but she made all the wives in town jealous, if you remember, and Andy brought her into the jailhouse, and he was talking to her, and he said, if her name was Ellen or whatever on the show, he said, "Ellen, I don't know if you know this, but God was very, very good to you." And he said, "A matter of fact," he said, "he was real, real good." And he said, "I don't think I've ever seen God spend so much time on one person as he did on you." And it's kind of a great, great story. He was just talking about how beautiful she was. And we can look at people like that, not just Barbara Eden, but we can look at nice-looking, beautiful people and think, man, they are wonderfully made. I want to admit something to you that I told my Bible study on Thursday that I'm not real proud of, but before Bible study, I got over there around, Bible study's at 11, I got there probably about 10 after, And I was in just getting the table set up in the Pinnacle Towers, and this guy was going by in his cart, and I'd never seen him before. And he stopped, and he looked, and he said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I do a Bible study here Thursday." And he backed up, and as soon as he came in, I smelled him, and it wasn't a nice smell. And he sat by the door for a few minutes, just talking to me. And, I mean, it was kind of like making tears come to my eyes, and I just wanted him to leave. I just really wanted him to get out. And he told me he was there to visit some people. He had lived there 5 years ago and had been only there about a year and got kicked out of the place because he didn't pay his rent. And I asked him where he was now. He was saying a place somewhere near Mansfield. But he said, I said, "Well, why didn't you pay your rent?" And he goes, "I just was wasting my money." And I want to tell you, it was a combination of body odor, alcohol, and I don't know whether it was cigarette smoke or marijuana, but he I mean, it was like, ugh. And I just wanted him to leave. I just wanted to say, "Well, people are going to be here in a few minutes," but that would have been a lie. They weren't going to be in there for about another half hour. So I'm trying to think, what can I say to this guy? But he just kept talking, and he kept getting closer. And I found myself asking him questions, and I didn't want to. I did not want to ask him any. I just wanted him to leave. But I just said, so tell me about yourself. And he started telling me about himself, and he told me about the people he knew at Pinnacle Towers who he wanted to visit. And I'm thinking, I don't know if anybody's going to open the door and let you in, but I didn't say that. But he just kept getting closer. He probably came about from here to the front pew away from me, and I was sitting at the table, and it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I finally said something to him about the Lord. And he goes, "Oh," he said, "I don't have time for church." And he said, "I don't have time for Jesus." But he said, "Jesus is always with me." And I said, "Really?" And he reaches into his pocket. He pulls out this little rubber Jesus. It was about that big. And he said, "I used to have an elephant, but I lost that. So I replaced the elephant with Jesus." And I wanted to laugh and I wanted to vomit at the same time. But I said, "You know, that's not really Jesus." And he goes, "Ah, well, I know, but he's always with me." I said, "No." I said, "The only way Jesus is with you is you invite him into your heart. And you do that through." And I just kind of gave a brief presentation of the gospel. One of the ladies who comes to our Bible study came there probably about 10:35, 10:40. And she started to come into the room, and he saw her, and he knew her. So he went out, and she stood out in the hallway talking. And I felt like opening the windows and just breathing in clean air, but I didn't. But she stayed out and talked to him for about another 5 minutes. And I had to realize, because we were talking in the Bible study about how God can cleanse us and help us. And I just admitted at the Bible study my thoughts about, his name was Mike. And I said, "Mike made me sick." And I said, I did not want to talk to him. I just wanted him to get out. And yet God just kept, I believe it was from the Lord, just kept having me ask him questions. And I'm admitting to you, I did not want to ask him any questions. I did not want to talk to him. I wanted him to get out. And Mike did not, I would love to say, Mike prayed to receive Christ with me. But at least he heard the gospel. And that was not my intention at all. And as I read that this morning, fearfully and wonderfully made, I can tell you, I agree with Andy Griffith. Barbara Eden was wonderfully made. But so was Mike. So was Mike. And the Lord had to remind me of that we can look and we can put labels on people, can't we? I tell you, when I watch the news and I see these protesters out there, you know, purple hair and the signs that they're carrying, the language that they're using, attacking law enforcement, I get so angry. And I think they're wonderfully made too. And that's, Christ created all life. There's some that I would say, "Oh, I wish he hadn't done that," but he did it. But God loves people. And that's what the psalmist, or what David is saying. David is a psalmist. He said, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made, or being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." And then verse 16, "You saw my unformed substance. In your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when there was not even yet one of them." I want you to see, God was pleased when he saw the life. He created life. All life is valuable, and God is pleased when he looks at it. God is pleased today when he looks down at Mike, the smelly guy in a electric walker or electric scooter. God's pleased with that. Ron wasn't, but God is pleased with that. And I have to remind myself that all life is valuable. Second verse, Isaiah 49:1 says, "The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name." This is prophet Jeremiah the prophet saying this. And just to know that God created life, God saw all life as valuable. God is pleased with all life, and God has a plan for all life. That's what that's saying. The Lord called me from the womb. God had a plan for Jeremiah, and God has a plan for you. God had a plan for Mike. God has a plan for every one of us he's created. And I have to remind myself of that. God loves people, and I need to love people too. Jeremiah 1:5. I said Jeremiah last time. Isaiah is the one who said he was called from. Jeremiah says this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Again, God declares life as being sacred. He says, "I consecrated you." Every life in the womb is sacred. And that's what God is saying. God didn't say that just to Jeremiah because he knew he was going to be a prophet. He said that to you when you were in the womb. God made you sacred. God declared you as sacred. It's amazing that God views all life that way. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple," I believe that's a 2,000-year prophecy of abortion. "If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." God wants to, what's the word I'm looking for? God wants to dwell in life, and God does dwell in those who choose him as a personal Lord and Savior, but the Spirit of God dwells in you. And I believe God's Spirit dwells in the infants in the womb. I believe that. I know that they're not born again yet, but I believe the Spirit of God is on them. And then when they're wiped out, I believe they go, just wiped out when I mean by abortion, when they are killed in the womb, I believe they go right into God's presence. God loves those souls. But God knows he wants to dwell in those who are going to trust him as their Savior. And every child, I wish this would be the theme verse for every crisis pregnancy center, that every crisis pregnancy center would say, this child is God's temple. This baby that you're thinking about destroying is God's temple. I just want you to think about these crisis pregnancy centers and these places that show women the life that's growing in them. Alyssa's here today. Alyssa works in a neonatal, prenatal type thing. So she's working with babies. And I'm sure it probably breaks her heart. I don't know if she has many people who've had abortions or not, but obviously these babies that she's working with are born. But so many, and I could take you down to the CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania. I've been there. I've walked through there. And there are children whose mom wanted to abort them, and they were saved. They lived. They survived. And there's others whose doctors told them, this child's not going to amount to anything. Abort it. And they chose life. And you see some of the handicapped defects that they've been born with, but the mother's chosen life because they view their child as being a temple. We're praying that God moves in the hearts of people, that people understand that abortion needs to be completely wiped out. But I believe God can do some things. But I want you to read this statistic up here. This is just from this year, okay, or from 2025, but I found it this year. The Society of Family Planning, We Count, is what it's called, reported a noted increase in total abortions. This is last year, after abortion went back to the states, okay, and we say that we see that people are celebrating this. Abortions increased in the first half of the year to 592,000 abortions a month last year, averaging 99,000 a monthly average. That's since Roe versus Wade was not completely overthrown, but at least referred back to the states. And we thought that might begin to decrease abortions, but what they're saying is it went up 592,000 in the first 6 months. In our country, abortion has been pushed on young people, especially young girls, and we don't see it as much, but Teen Vogue magazine, I'm not exactly sure when this article was written, I think back in like 21 or 22. By the way, Teen Vogue has stopped printing, so it's out of business now as of November of this past year. But they did a whole series of articles, Teen Vogue magazine, specifically for girls, and it was pushing abortion. It says, "My body, my choice." They did an article, "How to get an abortion if you are a teen." They did an article, "What gift do you get a friend post-abortion?" In other words, celebrate it with your friend. They're going to be down. They might not be feeling well. So get them a nice gift and celebrate their abortion with them. It talks about how popular abortions have been with young people. One of the quotes from the article said, "It's only logical that if a teen is mature enough to become a parent, they are mature enough to decide whether or not they want to give birth to that. Having access to abortion should be your right, listen to this, regardless of your parents' beliefs." Teen Vogue magazine. Regardless of your parents' beliefs. This is another one. This is one I think that the writer should be shot. "Unborn children have no rights, but teenage children should have all rights to get an abortion." Unborn children have no rights. And I'm sorry to say that they should be shot. Electrocuted, maybe. But it's just terrible. Unborn children have no rights, but teenage children should have all rights to get an abortion. Aaron, there's another video there. This is a young girl's response, and she took a lot of heat for this. A young girl's response several years ago to what Teen Vogue magazine wrote.
Teen Vogue, a magazine geared toward teenage girls, recently posted a gift guide to lift a friend's spirit after an abortion. But some pro-life teens are speaking out against that article.
The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. Well, we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal. And to say it is not is simply feeding us a lie.
Joining us now is Autumn Lindsay, that 16-year-old student who posted the video. Welcome to the program, Autumn.
Thank you.
The article suggests things like watching a funny movie and downloading a Ruth Bader Ginsburg coloring book. It was incredibly flippant. How do you respond to that?
Yes, so I read the article and I was appalled. So that's kind of why I made the video. And basically, I just wanted to make the point across that, you know, no matter what stance you have on abortion, in no way should it be taken as such a lighthearted issue. That was one of the main reasons that I decided to film the video. Just that the message that it's fun, it's okay, and it's acceptable, and you should always support someone I disagree with, and I don't think that teen girls my age should be fed that message.
One of the gift suggestions was a girl power hat. And here's what you had to say. Let's listen.
Girl power hat. Is this really the time for that? I just ended my baby's life. Girl power. Are they insinuating that girls who celebrate their abortions understand girl power more than girls who regret them or refuse to have them?
What is girl power and how prevalent is it in the teenage culture?
I would say girl power is not just being able to do whatever you want and, you know, take control of every situation. I think being a girl is being respectable and being modest and being, you know, able to speak your mind. But I think the way that they portrayed it is essentially just saying, you know, if you don't agree with abortion, then you must not be pro-women. And I don't think that that's the case at all.
You know, the Teen Vogue article didn't really address any solutions to serious counseling, to someone who has mm-hmm. just had an abortion. You do have some suggestions. What are they?
Mm-hmm. I basically just laid out some, you know, for girls that have had abortions, that there are resources out there, such as, you know, the Rachel's Vineyard, which was it's a great organization, as well as, you know, some pro-life hotlines, you know, stuff like that, just so that, you know, girls who have abortions don't have to pretend like it's a, you know, a fun, lighthearted situation and that they should celebrate it. It is a loss, and that's what we should treat it as. So I think it's really important.
How has the reaction been at school or in your community to what you have done?
It has been overwhelmingly positive. I've gotten a lot of great responses. I was recently at a speech and debate tournament, and it was funny walking down the halls and having people ask me, are you the girl from the video? So it's strange, but I'm really glad that I did it and be able to get that, you know, truth out. Because I think a lot of girls my age just kind of follow what media tells them. And a lot of what that is right now is the pro-choice movement. So I think it's weird for people to see a girl to kind of go against what a lot of what culture is saying. Because I think oftentimes what that's played out as is, oh, she's brainwashed because she doesn't believe what everyone else believes.
It sounds like you have a career possibly in advocacy. Thank you so much, Autumn Lindsay, for joining us.
Thank you.
That a young girl would even have to do something like that in response to a magazine article that says, let's celebrate abortion. And that's not ended, okay? I don't want you to think because it's now not on the federal thing, it's on the state thing, that abortions are being cut down. They're not. They're increasing. And I appreciate what that girl said, that girls are being brainwashed. We see, just I believe most of these demonstrators that are out there are on the streets today are brainwashed. People are listening to the media, and we need to pray that God gets a hold of their hearts, and that's what we're going to close with here. I just put some prayer items for us now, just to spend a few minutes, just praying that unborn lives in the wombs right now find safety. There's women all around the world who right now are debating about abortion. And they listen to the media, there's no problem with it. It's just a piece of tissue. Birth parents facing decisions and financial difficulties. And as that video we watched in the very beginning said, whether it's planned or unplanned, parents have a decision to make. For people to choose life, for post-abortive parents to find Christ and peace. Abortion doesn't end when the baby's dead. Women carry that scar for the rest of their lives. Abortion is to see they're committing murder. And I have capitalized because that's not what they view it. They're just doing a job. They're offering a service, but it's murder. Adoption to be seen as a great alternative. And as an adoptive father, I would love to see the cost reversed. I would love to see an adoption cost $800, an abortion to cost $50,000. That would help end it. But so many adoptive parents, there's not enough children. There's a lot more adoptive parents than there are kids who are up for adoption. crisis pregnancy centers to see women see the baby inside and turn to Christ. I don't know how many women I've heard personally and that I've read about who were debating abortion because they were fed the lie that it was just a piece of tissue. And then when they see the ultrasound and they see this heartbeat and the baby moving and sucking its thumb or whatever, they walk out with a changed mind. So let's pray to that end. So let's just spend a few minutes. Whoever would like to pray, pray one of these things or maybe something else that the Lord lays on your heart. Maybe you know someone who's contemplating it right now. Don't say that person's name, but just pray for them so that we can join you in prayer. But let's pray through this list and just pray that sanctity of life becomes a genuine thing, not just one Sunday a month, a year, but daily, that life becomes precious to us. So I'll close when we have a few of you pray. Lord, we're thankful that we can know personally the creator of all life, that you did create it. You called it wonderful. You saw value in every life. And Lord, you saw value, whether it's Mike that I was talking about or the people out on the streets that we disagree with who are protesting. We think of the Muslim people who are just violent it's easy for us to write them off and just say that they're hopelessly lost, but yet they're also hopelessly loved. And we thank you that you love each person. And Lord, help us to see people through your eyes and give them value and realize they're so valuable that you died for them on the cross. And Lord, help us to love people to you. And Lord, help us even go along with that, not only to love them because we're supposed to as Christians, but even to like them. Help us to just like people. Help us to be around people and to see, again, the value that you give them. And we thank you that you are good all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand together and sing that song, The Goodness of... Oh, there, it's the next song there, Aaron, The Goodness of God. There you go. Let's stand together and sing. This is a... C.C. Winans, and we've sung it a number of times before.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender.
One of the phrases in there, it says, every breath that I'm able. And we've been talking about that. There's so many who are in the womb today that might not ever take a breath. So let's pray. Pray that women make the decisions of life. Father, thank you that you created life. Father, thank you for looking at your creation and saying it was good. There's value in it. Thank you for saying we're sacred in the womb. Lord, that just boggles my mind that child that hasn't chosen to sin yet, hasn't made the decisions, is sacred in your eyes, and you call them your temple. Lord, help us to look at people with those same eyes. Lord, help us to love people as you love them. And Lord, help us to be that light, to remember even the people that we have a hard time being around, whether they smell bad, they just annoy us, or whatever the reason. Lord, help us to still see them as someone you died for, as someone you created. And Lord, help us to see them with value as well. Bless our fellowship time and our Sunday school hours to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to come back up for a fellowship.